Music Radio 77.com.
Good morning, this is Joe Condon. Welcome to Albany Street. As you know, the Albany International Airport is currently displaying the National Women's Hall of Fame exhibit, saluting the accomplishments of numerous contemporary and historical women. This morning, to coincide with that theme, we'd like to salute and review the career of one of the most influential and respected broadcast programmers in the nation, who happens to be a woman, Ruth Meyer. To put Ms. Meyer's career in perspective, let's go back to 1954.
Hi, everybody. This is Alan Freed. Back in 1951 in Cleveland, we coined a phrase that became the biggest pop musical era in the world. The words rock and roll.
By 1954, Freed was a nationally recognized disc jockey in the now home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Cleveland, Ohio. Ruth Meyer was beginning her broadcast career in Kansas City. And in Memphis, Tennessee, Marion Keisker, administrative assistant to Sun Records head Sam Phillips, dashes across the street with a newly pressed 45 record to the studios of WREC Radio. And at 4:10, July 7th, 1954, Fred Cook becomes the first disc jockey in history to play an Elvis Presley record. First Elvis song played on the radio, That's All Right, Mama.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you.
By 1959, these three forces of rock and roll had crashed into New York City. Elvis and the Army had done numerous Ed Sullivan shows.
The number to call in New York is Hickory 62300. Hickory 62300. Dance with me. Here are the Drifters.
Alan Freed was rocking on 50,000 watt WABC New York.
That's Teddy Randazzo and Live. Nobel Peace Prize winner Philip Noel Baker is tonight's subject of People in the News. Full details at 9:55 p.m. here on WABC, where news comes first and the crest sing a year ago tonight.
Meanwhile, Ruth Meyer leaves Kansas radio for 50,000-watt rocker WMGM New York City.
WMGM New York.
Within months, Ruth takes a new job of programming rock and roll radio station WMCA New York. Ruth, today a broadcast consultant and much-in-demand speaker, receives high praise from Joseph Riley, president of the New York State Broadcasters.
Ruth was a real power at a time when women weren't recognized.
For a woman to be running a major radio station in the 1960s had to be very unique.
It was, at the time, Ruth Meyer was a very powerful woman, and she would have been successful in any era. If you're referring to the fact that women weren't given the chance to succeed, that part is true, but women were always strong and bright and intelligent, and you know, it was a male-dominated world, and they weren't given the opportunities. And some of the more powerful women, like, and more talented women, like Ruth Meyer, emerged despite discrimination.
Thank you, Mr. Riley, and now it's my honor to introduce Ruth Meyer, a broadcast legend and a national treasure. You were one of the first. You were a pioneer for women.
Yes, I think so. In a major market, yeah, it would be true. And in New York, I was the first woman program director.
What made you want to get into radio?
Well, I really wanted to be a writer. And nobody would hire me at the advertising agencies. And so my mother, the city, into letting me be a copywriter. And then I just kind of boogied from there.
Your next stop after Kansas City?
New York.
Wow.
Well, the old Peter Tripp. Remember Peter Tripp? Okay, well, I went to work for Todd Stores in Kansas City at one of his first top 40 stations.
Right.
And Peter Tripp was on the air then. And Peter thought I was really smart. And when he moved to New York, it was making him crazy because New York radio was very slow and dull, and they really didn't get it. And so he tried everything and couldn't get anything moving, so he conned him into hiring me to make something happen. And so that's how I got to New York.
He was on WMGM, wasn't he?
Yes. And so was I. I mean, that's where he managed to get me hired, too.
If I recall, he had a countdown show every afternoon where he would run down the top 10 songs.
Yeah. Well, that originated in Kansas City.
So at WMGM, what did you do?
Wrote copy and public service announcements and all that stuff, and tried to talk him into doing some of the magical modern radio stuff. And they kind of looked at me like I was cuckoo. Then Peter Strauss was starting the radio station, and so he hired me away from MGM after about, I was at MGM for about 3 months.
And you go to WMCA. What was your first job there?
Copywriter and sales. Well, I didn't sell anything, but I wrote copy for the sales department, wrote public service announcements and all that kind of stuff. So from there, I just kind of became a grown-up.
When you became a program director of WMCA, you were battling WMGM, WINS, and WABC. And that's when you had Alan Freed and Murray the K and those people. What was
right.
that like in New York?
It's a lot of fun. And I don't know, I did a lot of things that were instinctive because I didn't know what I was doing. So I did a lot of instinctive things that worked.
At WMCA, you had the WMCA good guys, but I have some music surveys that show that WABC also, for a brief period of time, they were the good guys as well.
That's correct. Actually, it originated in, what was the big rock station in L.A.? Big station. And one of my friends worked out there in the sales department. And he told me about, they were doing good guys as kind of public service kind of things. And he didn't think they were doing it right. And so he called me and said, you know, we're doing this, but I think it would have a lot of potential, but so why don't you try to do it? So I tried to talk my boss into letting me do it, and he said no, he thought the whole idea sucked. And so he wouldn't let me do it, and I'm chewing my nails. And it was the ABC affiliate out there that had started, so that's how ABC got it in New York. And then when I heard them do it, they were just using it as a slogan. And it was making me crazy because I saw all the potential for it. And I think that has to be the only time in my whole career I ever stole anything.
One of your WMCA good guys, the late Jack Spector, during a radio show on WCBS-FM in New York, talked about taking the good guy concept from WABC.
Van said the other night at the cocktail party, he said, we were the good guys first, which is true. Actually, they weren't. It was KFWB in Los
right.
Angeles, and it was a slogan. It was like a throwaway line, like, you know, all the news that's fit to print. And they threw the line away. They did nothing with it. And Ruth Meyer, who was our esteemed program director, I was driving with her in a car one evening, and she said, oh, they're doing it wrong. They're doing it wrong. And she had this whole vision of the good guys with a picture and the face on the good guy sweatshirt, which was the forerunner of the smile buttons you see today. But those were, you know, with the little thing hanging over the forehead, the little curly cue there. And we just did it. We did it great, and they dropped it immediately.
Ruth Meyer, you made the WMCA good guys a team. Tell us about that.
It just struck me that if we were going to be the good guys, and we did everything together, and each guy was individual, but they all had this clout as one big unit. We went to, like if we would go to a record club bash or a record company bash,
mm-hmm.
The guys wouldn't just drift in one at a time. They'd wear their good guy sweatshirts, black pants, and we'd all show up together. And it would completely demoralize the competition. So it had a lot of effect.
Now, your WMCA good guys recorded songs and recorded albums. Tell us about that.
Well, they didn't start out as albums. I would write lyrics for various songs that we had on record, and then I'd tape them, and we'd play them as promos on the air. With We Are the Good Guys, We Are the Good Guys, playing the hits.
Pack up all your cares and all.
Go, guys.
We'll say hi when you feel low. We're the good guys.
O'Brien and Harrison, start your day.
Then comes back there.
Oh,
hi, Bay.
We're the good guys.
After Jack, we'll tell you what you're needing.
Yeah, yeah.
Dandy Dan and Dandy Mitchell Reed Swing.
So then somebody came along and said that they wanted to put them into an album. It lost a lot of its kick when, first of all, they rewrote it all. So the guys were singing the real lyrics to the song. The songs were done by real live bands instead of pickup stuff, you know, that I was doing on tape. And so it lost that funny homemade kind of quality, and they weren't good enough to do a slick album.
That's the way to spend your day on WMCA.
We had a lot of fun doing the good guy songs, though.
Before we take a break, why do you think WMCA New York, under your leadership, became not only one of the top rock and roll radio stations in the country, but one of the top radio stations in the United States of America?
I think it was because we were very real. We weren't so busy being professional that we didn't have any fun with it. We knew why we did things, but we had fun with it, and we always respected our audience. We were just enormously creative and funny and goofy, and we just fit the market.
Indeed you did. Sunday morning, Albany Street. I'm Joe Condon, and we're delighted to have with us Ruth Meyer, one of the most influential and respected broadcast programmers in the United States of America.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite song.
Good morning. Welcome back to Albany Street. I'm Joe Condon. As you know, the Albany International Airport, as we head towards the next millennium, is currently displaying the National Women's Hall of Fame exhibit, saluting the accomplishments of numerous contemporary and historical women. This morning, to coincide with that theme, we'd like to salute and review the career of one of the most influential and respected broadcast programmers in the nation, who happens to be a woman, Ruth Meyer. Ruth, welcome back. Ruth, as a woman who ran the NBC radio network, programmed successfully WMCA in New York City, and you're now a broadcast consultant, what advice do you give program directors as to how they should run a successful radio station?
Value talent and treat them right. Don't have talent that are bad folks. Nurture them and let them know you respect them and encourage them to behave as though they wanted to be respected. Try to develop a good rapport. Don't order them. Don't let them run you either. Just try to develop a good relationship and always keep your eye on the ball. Know where you're going. Know what you're doing. Keep remembering the audience all the time.
Well, Ruth, we've got a little bit of surprise for you right now. Joining us is National Fight Back television personality David Horowitz, who remembers working for you.
I was the public affairs director, which meant that I was a servant of the program director, who was Ruthie Meyer. But I liked working with Ruth because Ruth was the consummate pro in rock music. She handled a corral of good guys that would be enough to be able to defeat an army of Romans with spears, with their bare hands and their voices. I mean, it was incredible what talent she had and how she was able to keep all these guys not only on the air, but that station, WMCA, was number one in the market because of Ruthie. And this lady knew more about music and more about programming and more about grabbing audience than anyone that I've known in my professional career. And the crazy thing about it is that she was a delight to work for, even if you're on the receiving end, because you could always have a laugh after the argument.
Now, from what I understand, David, years after WMCA, you worked for Ruth Meyer again.
One day I'm sitting in my office in NBC, I get a call. Hello, David, Ruthie Meyer. Ruthie, who? Ruthie Meyer. I was just delighted to hear from her. She's now running the NBC radio network, which is the best thing that ever happened to that stodgy old crummy network. And Ruthie said, I want you to be one of my feature people. Would you do it? I said, Ruthie, I will do it. And it was a delight to work with her on a level where you were her talent. And she was protecting who you were and also protecting the creative interests of the network. She respected people who were creative.
Okay, Ruth, in the remaining moments, let's listen to some of those creative people and talk about your WMCA good guys, starting with BMR, B. Mitchell Reed.
Oh, wow. One of the most talented men I have ever worked with in my whole life and I've ever heard anywhere else. Just dynamite and nutty as the devil.
The hits keep coming with B. Mitchell Reed and the Wide, Wide Weird World. Our WMCA swinging, groovy, kookiest, sure shot of the
week. It's Rumble. Jack Becknitty. He lived, I think, about three blocks from the station, and he would drive to work in New York traffic to be on the air at 7 o'clock at night. And he'd always come gasping in. I couldn't find a place to park. And you were almost sure he was going to miss the show or come in late. And he always made it, but just barely. Do you remember Mitch's great line? Mitch's great line was, this is your leader, BMR, here to clear up your face and mess up your mind.
Joe O'Brien, he was Ruth Meyer's good guy morning man at WMCA. Tell us about him.
He's probably the most versatile and talented broadcaster I ever worked with. He could do anything. And because he had started way back in the olden days with soaps and all kinds of things like that, he had such knowledge and such good instincts that I relied on him enormously for just to hang things together. And everybody liked him. He had no ego at all. Mm-hmm. And he was so knowledgeable about broadcasting in general that he was a gold mine for me.
Well, let's listen to Joe O'Brien when he worked for Ruth Meyer, waking up WMCA listeners.
The intro, Dolby Gray, number 10. And don't forget, Dandy Dan will have the brand new Top 25 for you this afternoon, as he does every Wednesday from 4 to 7 after Jolly Jack Spector. Are you playing Word Bird with Jack? He gives away 570 several times every afternoon, and you can have a lot of laughs, too. 21 minutes to 9 o'clock on the Joe O'Brien Show. Oh, we got a secretary here a couple of weeks ago. What a remarkable, amazing girl she is. She's been here 2 weeks, mind you, and she's already a month behind on her work.
You're a winner!
We heard from Ed Carroll on Staten Island. Good morning, Ed, and Staten Island. He gets a WMCA Good Guys sweatshirt.
WMCA, here's the spot. WMCA spot
26 is number one on.
You had a high energy radio station, Ruth Meyer. Ruth Meyer, you hired Harry Harrison at WMCA. He went from WMCA to WABC in New York City. And now he's doing mornings on WCBS-FM in New York, working for Joe McCoy. What is the secret of this man's longevity?
You know, he started out to be a priest.
I had heard that.
And I met him when I was working in Kansas City, and he was in Peoria, and I had gone in to cut some promos for a station that I was doing some freelance work for, and that's how I met him. And I just thought he was enormously talented. And we kind of stayed friends, and he'd send me air checks and stuff like that. And then when I moved to New York, he would just write as a friend. He wasn't, you know, pitching me for a job. And it just seemed to me like he was so talented that I talked my boss into hiring him. Well, he is just so professional, and he knows what he's doing, and he's personable, and he always thinks in terms of the audience. And so many air personalities don't. They're so caught up in what they're doing and what's happening around them, and they're inwardly looking instead of remembering about the audience and what's important to the audience.
Let's listen to Harry Harrison now, working for Ruth Meyer at WMCA.
See Teenage Mother now at theaters all over town. Check your local newspaper for a theater near you.
It's the Harry Harrison Show.
Important is good food to you, huh? You say you can take it or leave it? If that's your answer, you haven't eaten at Nathan's, where wonderful things are done with Franks and French fries, pizza and fried chicken, seafood, other things you'll talk about for weeks. Now, naturally, they serve a lot of Coca-Cola there. People demand it. Nathan says the best food deserves the best refreshment. Ice-cold Coca-Cola, of course. You never get tired of the taste of Coke. Things like juicy hot dogs and Nathan's golden French fries. Definitely go better with Coca-Cola. New Yorkers know this, and you know it too. So whether you eat to live or live to eat, you'll enjoy eating at Nathan's. Three convenient locations. One out in Coney Island. Morning, Coney. Another on Central Avenue in Yonkers. And a third in Oceanside, Long Island. Everybody all right there? And all three, things go better with Coke, after ice-cold Coca-Cola. 1910 Fruit Gum Company, 123 Red Light.
Down in New York right now, WCBS-FM is pretty much the dominant station.
Oh, yeah.
And they have, Joe McCoy has all of the ABC and the MCA people.
Yeah. Smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
Nice man, too.
Oh, he definitely is. What do you think is the secret of the success of WCBS-FM?
I think that they don't try to be this wild, modern, you know, compete with all the other guys. They have found a niche that works for them, and they do it. And they do all of it, all the time, and they do it right. And they have, you know, Joe has hired so many of the guys that have been in the market for a million years, and everybody knows them. And the guys are wonderfully professional guys, so that you have, it's just a unique New York-type sound.
One thing I've noticed in the hallways, and you can sense something when you walk into a building, there is much happiness there. He has an upbeat staff.
Yes.
And as you said, he is a very nice gentleman, and that I think that
yes.
carries through right on the air.
And he respects his talent. You'd be surprised at the number of particularly program directors who don't respect the talent and put him down.
Since we're talking about Joe McCoy, Ruth, why don't we let our listeners hear a little bit of what he sounds like, emceeing a concert last summer in New York Central Park, being introduced by Cousin Brucey.
I guess the preeminent program director, not I guess, I know, in contemporary radio today, ladies and gentlemen, Joel McCoy.
Thanks, Brucey. You know, it takes takes a lot of great people to make a great radio station, and it takes a great audience to come out on a day like today when I looked out the window at about 12 noon and I said, oh my God, it looks like the midnight hour. I thought Wilson Pickett was walking around the station. But God loves rock and roll, don't he?
I'm gonna wait till the midnight hour.
Ruth Meyer, we only have time for one more question. How would you like to be remembered?
I guess, I don't know. I was very fortunate to work with some enormously talented guys, and I guess I sort of grew up in broadcasting with them. I think I did a lot of very imaginative things, and I don't think anybody has ever been any better than I was at handling talent, because I didn't handle them. I just loved them.
It has been an honor to meet you.
Well, thank you. It was awfully nice of you to spend your time with me.
To spend time with a legend. Wow. You've been listening to Albany Street on a Sunday morning. I'm Joe Condon, and our guest has been Ruth Meyer, one of the most influential and respected broadcast programmers in the United States of America. And she's still a broadcast consultant.